Section 7. The Wealth of the Gentiles. Chapter 36. Favors to be received as well as imparted. Just as long as we are in this world, and the Spirit of God is striving with the world, we are to receive as well as to impart favors. We are to give to the world the light of truth as presented in the sacred scriptures, and we are to receive from the world that which God moves upon them to do in behalf of His cause. The Lord still moves upon the hearts of kings and rulers in behalf of His people, and it becomes those who are so deeply interested in the religious liberty question not to cut off any favors or withdraw themselves from the help that God has moved men to give for the advancement of His cause. We find examples in the Word of God concerning this very matter. Cyrus, king of Persia, made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it into writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel." A second commandment was issued by Darius for the building of the house of the Lord, and is recorded in the 6th chapter of Ezra. The Lord God of Israel has placed his goods in the hands of unbelievers, but they are to be used in favor of doing the works that must be done for a fallen world. The agents through whom these gifts come may open up avenues through which the truth may go. They may have no sympathy with the work, and no faith in Christ, and no practice in his words, but their gifts are not to be refused on that account. I have repeatedly been shown that we might receive far more favors than we do in many ways if we would approach men in wisdom, acquaint them with our work, and give them an opportunity of doing those things which it is our privilege to induce them to do for the advancement of the work of God. Example of Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not depend upon uncertainty. The means that he lacked, he solicited from those who were able to bestow. And the Lord is still willing to move upon the hearts of those in possession of his goods in behalf of the cause of truth. Those who labor for him are to avail themselves of the help that he prompts men to give. These gifts may open ways by which the light of truth shall go to many benighted lands. The donors may have no faith in Christ, no acquaintance with his word, but their gifts are not on this account to be refused. God's work is now to advance rapidly, and if his people will respond to his call, he will make the possessors of property willing to donate of their means, and thus make it possible for his work to be accomplished in the earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith in the Word of God will place his people in the possession of property, which will enable them to work the large cities that are waiting for the message of truth. Receiving gifts from outside. You inquire with respect to the propriety of receiving gifts from Gentiles or the heathen. The question is not strange, but I would ask you, who is it that owns our world? Who are the real owners of houses and lands? Is it not God? He has an abundance in our world which he has placed in the hands of men, by which the hungry might be supplied with food, the naked with clothing, the homeless with homes. The Lord would move upon worldly men, even idolaters, to give of their abundance for the support of the work, if we would approach them wisely and give them an opportunity of doing those things which it is their privilege to do. What they would give, we should be privileged to receive. We should become acquainted with men in high places, and by exercising the wisdom of the serpent and the harmlessness of the dove, we might obtain advantage from them, for God would move upon their minds to do many things in behalf of his people. If proper persons would set before those who have means and influence the needs of the work of God in a proper light, these men might do much to advance the cause of God in our world. We have put away from us privileges and advantages that we might have had the benefit of, because we chose to stand independent of the world. But we need not sacrifice one principle of truth while taking advantage of every opportunity to advance the cause of God. Chapter 37. God Preparing the Way. If the needs of the Lord's work were set forth in a proper light before those who have means and influence, these men might do much to advance the cause of present truth. God's people have lost many privileges of which they could have taken advantage had they not chosen to stand independent of the world.
In the providence of God, we are daily brought into connection with the unconverted. By His own right hand, God is preparing the way before us in order that His work may progress rapidly. As co-laborers with Him, we have a sacred work to do. We are to have travail of soul for those who are in high places. We are to extend to them the gracious invitation to come to the marriage feast. Although now almost wholly in the possession of wicked men, all the world, with its riches and treasures, belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Oh, that Christians might realize more, and still more fully, that it is their privilege and their duty, while cherishing right principles, to take advantage of every heaven-sent opportunity for advancing God's kingdom in this world. Stewardship Series, Number 1, 14, 15. An appeal to ministers and church officers regarding the soliciting of gifts for our foreign mission work. Impressed by the Spirit to give. Medical missionaries who labor in evangelistic lines are doing a work of as high an order as are their ministerial fellow workers. The efforts put forth by these workers are not to be limited to the poorer classes. The higher classes have been strangely neglected. In the higher walks of life will be found many who will respond to the truth, because it is consistent, because it bears the stamp of the high character of the gospel. Not a few of the men of ability thus won to the cause will enter energetically into the Lord's work. The Lord calls upon those who are in positions of trust, those to whom He has entrusted His precious gifts, to use their talents of intellect and means in His service. Our workers should present before these men a plain statement of our plan of labor, telling them what we need in order to help the poor and needy and to establish this work on a firm basis. Some of these will be impressed by the Holy Spirit to invest the Lord's means in a way that will advance His cause. They will fulfill His purpose by helping to create centers of influence in the large cities. Calling upon rich men. There is a world to be warned, and we have been very delicate about calling upon rich men, either church members or worldlings, to aid us in the work. We would that all professed Christians stood with us. We would that their souls might be drawn out in liberality in aiding us in building up the kingdom of God in our world. We should call upon great and good men to help us in our Christian endeavor work. They should be invited to second our efforts in seeking to save that which is lost. The Origin and Development of the Thanksgiving Plan, 5. Written February 28, 1900. God will open the way. Times are growing hard, and money is difficult to obtain, but God will open the way for us from sources outside our own people. I cannot see how anyone can take exceptions to the receiving of gifts from those not of our faith. They can only do so by taking extreme views and by creating issues which they are not authorized to do. This is God's world, and if God could move upon human agents so that the land which has been in the hands of the enemy may be brought into our hands, so that the message may be proclaimed in regions beyond, shall men block up the way with their narrow notions? Such conscientiousness as this is anything but healthful. The Holy Spirit does not lead men to pursue such a course. A means of conversion. Why not ask the Gentiles for assistance? I have received instruction that there are men and women in the world who have sympathetic hearts and who will be touched with compassion as the needs of suffering humanity are presented before them. There are men in the world who will give of their means for schools and for sanitariums. The matter has been presented to me in this light. Our work is to be aggressive. The money is the Lord's, and if the wealthy are approached in the right way, the Lord will touch their hearts and impress them to give of their means. God's money is in the hands of these men, and some of them will heed the request for help. Talk this over, and do all in your power to secure gifts. We are not to feel that it would not be the thing to ask men of the world for means, for it is just the thing to do. This plan was opened before me as a way of coming in touch with wealthy men of the world. Through this means, not a few will become interested and may hear and believe the truth for this time. Stewardship Series, Number 1, 15, 16. Chapter 38, The Harvest in Gathering Work. In following any plan that may be set in operation for carrying to others a knowledge of present truth and of the marvelous providences connected with the advancing cause, let us first consecrate ourselves fully to Him whose name we wish to exalt. Let us also pray earnestly in behalf of those whom we expect to visit, by living faith bringing them, one by one, into the presence of God.
The Lord knows the thoughts and purposes of man, and how easily He can melt us. How His Spirit, like a fire, can subdue the flinty heart. How He can fill the soul with love and tenderness. How He can give us the graces of His Holy Spirit and fit us to go in and out in laboring for souls. The power of overcoming grace should be felt throughout the church today, and it may be felt if we take heed to the counsels of Christ to His followers. As we learn to adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior, we shall surely see of the salvation of God. To all who are about to take up special missionary work with the paper prepared for use in the Harvest in Gathering campaign, I would say, be diligent in your efforts. Live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Add daily to your Christian experience. Let those who have special aptitude work for unbelievers in the high places as well as in the low places of life. Search diligently for perishing souls. Oh, think of the yearning desire Christ has to bring to His fold again those who have gone astray. Watch for souls as they that must give an account. In your church and neighborhood missionary work, let your light shine forth in such clear, steady rays that no man can stand up in the judgment and say, "Why did you not tell me about this truth? Why did you not care for my soul?" Then let us be diligent in the distribution of literature that has been carefully prepared for use among those not of our faith. Let us make the most of every opportunity to arrest the attention of unbelievers. Let us put literature into every hand that will receive it. Let us consecrate ourselves to the proclamation of the message, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Divine and human instrumentalities are to unite for the accomplishment of one great object. Now is the day of our responsibility. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Fruit of this twofold effort. In the providence of God, those who are bearing the burden of His work have been endeavoring to put new life into old methods of labor, and also to invent new plans and new methods of awakening the interest of church members in a united effort to reach the world. One of the new plans for reaching unbelievers is the Harvest in Gathering campaign for missions. In many places, during the past few years, this has proved a success, bringing blessing to many and increasing the flow of means into the mission treasury. As those not of our faith have been made acquainted with the progress of the third angel's message in heathen lands, their sympathies have been aroused, and some have sought to learn more of the truth that has such power to transform hearts and lives. Men and women of all classes have been reached, and the name of God has been glorified. In years past, I have spoken in favor of the plan of presenting our mission work and its progress before our friends and neighbors, and have referred to the example of Nehemiah. And now I desire to urge our brethren and sisters to study anew the experience of this man of prayer and faith and sound judgment, who made bold to ask his friend, King Artaxerxes, for help with which to advance the interests of God's cause. Let all understand that in presenting the needs of our work, believers can reflect light to others only as they, like Nehemiah of old, draw nigh to God and live in close connection with the giver of all light. Our own souls must be firmly grounded in a knowledge of the truth if we would win others from error to truth. We need now to search the Scriptures diligently, that, as we become acquainted with unbelievers, we may hold up before them Christ as the anointed, the crucified, the risen Savior, witnessed to by prophets, testified of by believers, and through whose name we receive the forgiveness of our sins. For further study, Nehemiah and the Persian King, Prophets and Kings, 628-634. Opportunities to secure properties at far less than their cash value. Testimonies for the Church 7, 102. Many among wealthy, after responding to appeal for means, will surrender themselves to Christ. Testimonies for the Church 6:258. Many rich converted that they may assist cause. Testimonies for the Church 1:174. Many men of wealth susceptible to gospel and will give of their entrusted means. Testimonies for the Church 8:114-116. Harvest in gathering, Christian service, 167-177.